So, put on my smart guy glasses. Did I tell you guys a story when I first put on these things? I was in our place in Florida, and I realized, like, oh, these things actually help a little bit when I read. And I had them on, and Joy came down the stairs, and she's like, oh, my. I thought you were somebody else. I was like, well, am I better looking? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that we get to partner again, God, with you. I pray for open hearts, ears, minds today, God, including my own. As we listen and I share, Lord, what you've given me to share today. We bless every single person in here and listening online. And again, we're so grateful that we get to be alive for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week was kind of an interesting week for me in just a lot of different fronts. And I mean, I got to process. And one of the questions I found myself asking was, why am I doing what I'm doing? We came out here to take care of Joy's mom, who had a stroke. And in the process, my good friend Arby said, hey, we've got a spot at our church for you if you want. Our board has approved it, and we'd love to have you on here with us. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll go help out a friend. Jump in. And I had no idea that my friend would be going on sabbatical for 3 months. You probably didn't either. Wait a minute, what did we sign up for? And I'm like, what did I sign up for? But it's exciting. I think the Lord has just really been showing me that what he's taught us over the last 10 to 15 years has just been preparation for something that he's got for us today. And I remember even the class that we're doing on Sunday nights here, you know, I was going through that about 6 years ago, and the Lord spoke specifically to me. He said, you're going to use this down the road. And it was just really fun to be able to see that and to see those things come to pass. And it was just reminding of everything that he's teaching me today, good, bad, ugly, is something that he's got for me, is because he's preparing me for something he's got for us tomorrow. So I get to share with you some things that we've been learning, some things that are on my heart. And there's three questions that everybody needs an answer for when you're in a church, when you're in an organization, when you're in a business. In life, I think family is also super important. Where are we going? Why does it matter? And what's my role? Part of my role here is actually equipping. And it's not to do everything, all the ministry in the church and that sort of thing. It's to equip the saints to do the works of service. We learned last Sunday night that there is no divide between secular and sacred. The moment that you got saved is the moment that you entered the ministry. It's the moment that your job becomes sacred. It's the moment that your family, that your home becomes a sacred place. And it's time to stop looking at, like, well, I don't need to do this because the church over here, we've got people that we pay for that. We've got people that we pay for this. I get to do this and just come in here. Actually, no. There's a lot more to it. And as a contractor, when I was wiring houses, I kept asking the Lord, like, what am I doing? I'm not in ministry. And he kept showing me, like, oh, really? Who's going to be living in this house that you're wiring right now? Who's going to be staying in this bedroom that you're pulling wire for? You're running the smoke detector in this room. Who's going to be living in here? And he started showing me pictures of who is going to be living here. And it's like, then I found my assignment. Lord, thank you that whoever lays in this bed that's going to be in this room is going to have an encounter with you. They're going to have dreams and visions. Thank you that the family that's going to be sitting around this dining table is going to have an encounter with you, and their family line is going to be changed, and new legacies are going to be in this family. Those days when I was out in the middle of nowhere wiring things by myself, wiring lake places, that I was literally the only person there, it just literally came alive, and I had new purpose and new, just a new outlook on life. And it was a struggle. There were times that I still wrestled with the old way of thinking, and oh my goodness, you know, why can't I just be doing something? Oh yeah, I am doing something. Ephesians 4. Unity in the body of Christ. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That in itself is a... That's a whole world to comprehend right there. There is so much in that. So my role in equipping is really important. Your role in being equipped is really important. Sorry. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, that's your old self, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Where are we going? Why does it matter? And what's my role? I have five things written down here that we're actually going to go after as a church. Number one, we're going to be a church that loves God. Number two, we're going to be a church that loves our families well. It was Mother Teresa that said, if you want to change the world, go home and learn how to love your families well. Number three, we are going to be a church that loves each other well, forgives, does not hold on to bitterness and offense. Number four, we are going to be a church that loves our community well. And number five, we are going to be a church that knows and walks in our true identity and nature. Where I'm going to hit today, especially going into communion, is actually number three. We're going to be a church that loves each other well, forgives, does not hold on to bitterness and offense. So, what does that look like? Today, we're going to take communion at the end of the service. We're going to give an opportunity to be able to go through and process some things. In the verses about communion, it warns about taking communion in an unworthy manner. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29 says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. You guys excited? I'm excited. Is there anyone that we are holding on to unforgiveness and we are bitter towards? If there is, we must take care of it. And as I share this message with you today, right now I just wanted to pray that the Holy Spirit will show us, as I continue out the message, who that is, what's in our heart. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you right now, God, bring conviction. Lord, the things that we've held on to, the things that have hurt, the things that have been really painful, that we have not released, have not processed, have not forgiven. We invite you right now to work in our hearts, to show us your love, your kindness, that we can walk through and be free and also set people free. In Jesus' name, amen. Unprocessed pain, trauma, and wounds keep us captive and a slave in so many ways. It keeps us from letting go of bitterness and unforgiveness. We want to hold on to the right to bring justice and receive justice. We want justice, we want punishment. We want what we deserve, and we want what they deserve. We want judgment, we want to administer judgment, we want to see judgment and punishment take place because we want justice. That pain has a voice that says, fix me now. It also says, hey, what about me? Don't I matter? Many of the things that we go to, the addictions that we've had are actually our way of processing pain. It's something that we've gone to medicate. And when we get at the root issue of what it is that we're medicating, I've experienced it in my own life. I've watched it in so many of the guys that I've taken through the discipleship courses. They're not just dealing with the fruit issues. They actually get to go and tackle the root and hit the heart. So we want justice. The only problem with all of this is there is no justice in a broken life. True justice happens with the life reconciled, forgiven, healed, and set free. It's the justice that happened when Jesus took our sins and bore them on the cross. There is no justice in a broken life. I'm not saying at all that trust and forgiveness are the same thing. You don't have to have any pet rattlesnakes. You don't have to carry around a pet rattlesnake. You can take care of the rattlesnake. Boundaries are important. Forgiveness is something that is an absolute must for us as Christians. It's a non-negotiable. Trust, when it is broken, has to be built back and earned. Trust isn't built by never making a mess, but by how that mess is cleaned up. Forgiveness is level one living for us as Christians. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like drinking deadly poison and expecting the other person to die. I've done that, and it's amazing. It's amazing that I didn't figure that out for a long time. True freedom is only gained by releasing that person to Jesus. And until we get to the place of forgiveness through the compassion of the Father, we will still be going through it like constantly peeling an onion. You ever experience that where you forgive somebody and you see them later on and you're like, oh, still, ugh. And then it's like, well, I just haven't forgiven. And you go through it and then you, oh, ugh, still hurts. But actually, you've never processed the pain. You've never processed the wound. When you come to forgiveness through the compassion of the Father, it's the same compassion that he had for us when he forgave us of our sins. It is so complete, you never actually have to process it twice, and I can testify to this. The things that I held on to in my life for years, relationships that, just carrying a ton of wounds and a ton of pain, I processed it through, got to the place of forgiving through the compassion of the Father, and it was like, I just can't tell you how free it was. And it's like, you know, we carry around these things and we wonder why over and over and over. And the Father is just inviting us into getting to know him as a good, good Father, remembering where we were when he met us. We're actually shifting the weight of all of that onto the one who bore our sins and died for us on the cross. It's what he is inviting us into and has given us access to. But wait, there's more. Another area so prevalent among believers and one of the greatest hindrances to getting to that place of forgiveness is the spirit of offense. As Christians, we often call it church hurt. Getting hurt by people we love is very painful. Getting hurt by people we are serving is very painful. Getting hurt by people we are supposed to be able to look up to and trust is extremely painful. It's interesting because we usually do the opposite needed to get healing. We cut off, we put guards up and blockers up. We cut off all access so that we will never get close and so we never get hurt again. And we isolate. The last thing we typically do is have a conversation and work through the conflict and the offense. Again, in all of this, I'm not saying we don't have a need for boundaries and automatically have to have trust for that person. There are things that when they get broken, they need to be repaired. The big things like that are really easy to identify, but most of the issues where division happens or relationships break down are the smaller things that have been built up and allowed to grow over time. We talk to lots of other people and build a case and justify where we are at instead of doing what will really help restore and bring the connection and relationship back. Many of the offenses that happened, actually, and again, I'm speaking from experience. Many of the offenses that have happened in my own life are actually perceived offenses. Miscommunication, misunderstanding, assumptions, and the stories that we are telling ourselves about what somebody else thinks about us. Sometimes we get offended when somebody says something that we don't like or we don't want to hear. Wherever we have wounds that are not healed, we will always see and perceive through the lens of that pain and unforgiveness. I've seen some really good friendships and churches destroyed because of these things. What lens are you seeing people through? What lens are you hearing through? You hear this, you see this, but what is the story that you're hearing in your mind? And does that line up with how God sees you and who you are So how do we get this healed? With people, it's communication, connection, and community. Healthy communication is about understanding, not about agreement. That one I really wrestled with. Healthy communication, healthy conversation is about understanding and not agreement. It's really easy to hear what somebody's saying, disagree with them until they agree with us, and not actually hear where they're coming from, come to an understanding of where they're at. I'm not saying compromise, I'm not saying anything like that. I'm not saying, oh, we can be wishy-washy Christians. I'm just saying we do a lot of talking and far less listening and hearing. My wife could tell you that about me. I did lots of talking and far less listening. Oh, if you would just hear what the kids are saying, hear their heart. I am. They're wrong. You're wrong. In the end, I was wrong. So, where are we going? Why does it matter? And what's my role? Each of us get to ask that question. Where are you going with this, Dan? All right. John 20:19-23. Sorry, Kirsten, you don't have to put the, I don't even know if she's up there. You don't have to put this up. I'll just read it. Then the same day at evening began the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Actually, one of the versions says that the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood in the midst. Door was locked and closed, but Jesus came right through the wall, stood in their midst. I've heard it said that after he rose from the dead, he didn't use a door because he was the door. And he said to them, "Peace be with you," which he probably needed to say because he just came through the wall. Hey, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you." I just can't imagine. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And here we go. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. We don't want to do that. We want to forgive. We want to be forgiven. Colossians 3, and the title of this section of scripture is "Put on the New Self." "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It's like that perfect thing that just wrapped this whole recipe together. It's love. It's wrapped. And I'm just thinking of a dish that Joy just made. Now I'm getting really hungry because it was amazing. It was wrapped in love. And so many other good things were inside that wrapping. Anybody else hungry? All right. We only have a couple hours left. Where was I? 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, for which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you guys want to know like where to just camp for a while in the word of God, Colossians 3 would be an amazing place to sit for a long time. I think our church would be different, our families would be different, our businesses would be different. There's a whole lot of things that would be different because we get to identify, we used to live a certain way, but once we've been born again, we actually have a new nature and a new identity, and this is the process of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've actually been given a new mind, a new nature. We got to figure out how to walk in it. So we got to open our word. Open the word of God. The word of God was given to us not so that we would know the Bible, but so that we would know the author. In that, we're going to learn the Bible. But we get to open this up and learn about the author, our creator, the one who knew where we are, what we are going to be going through. He's given us strength. He's got all kinds of things for us, but we have to open it up and find out who he is. Allow him to speak to us. Spend time in prayer. Yeah. I think we're at a place where we get to go after some of these things that I've been talking about this morning. We get to release them to the only one who was supposed to carry them. And as we reflect, ask the Lord to reveal the things that we need to forgive. If there's anyone here that you need to extend forgiveness to or ask for forgiveness, I want to invite you to do that. We're going to have time to process this. I'm going to put on a little bit of worship music. I got a couple of songs queued up. And I'm not going to have the words up on the screen. You know, just like David played the harp for Saul, I love music. The Lord has created us this way, and I actually believe that it sometimes helps the medicine go down. So we get to go through and process it. So in this time, we're just going to reflect. We're going to ask God, who is it? And sometimes, honestly, that person that we need to forgive is actually ourself. We've been carrying shame, condemnation, guilt for a long time. Sometimes we actually need, we get to the place where we're angry at God for not answering our prayer that we've asked. We've held on to bitterness and unforgiveness to our Heavenly Father. So we get to go through and process that. When we're finished up here in this time, we're going to take communion together. We're going to have a party together as a family. We've got a few of us that are going to go through and serve communion when we're finished up. But just want to allow that time to be able to go through and process some things. Some of you might be a little bit long, but that's okay. You have to spend some time in prayer. Some of you might not be long enough. So, yeah. You guys good with that? All right.